Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination, Philippians chapter 2. If you didn't hear the previous episode, the last episode, go back and listen to that because I'm going to build on that a little bit and go through it. This is just a profound portion of the Scripture that we as the body of Christ need to know, and we need to be living within this. Share these truths with other folks, okay? When you learn these things, when you see what the Scripture says, share it with your family, share it with your friends, share it in the Sunday school class, okay? Wherever it may be, share it at the coffee shop, everywhere. The truth that the Lord's revealing to you in Scripture. Also, encourage people to join us here. You'd have a common thing to discuss and talk about, right? So in Philippians chapter 2, we looked at verses 12 and 13. I'm going to read them again, and then we'll press on. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So we saw in the previous episode that it's the Lord that's bringing forth the empowerment here for what He desires to do for His good pleasure, the will, the empowerment, the work. Our role, our responsibility is to work out the salvation. Again, not to work for the salvation, but the very salvation that we have, to live it out, folks, and to do so in just fear and trembling. Not this fear of paralysis, not the trembling of anxiety, but the fear and trembling of the awe of what God has done and what He is doing within each and every true believer. Now we continue, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh, man, okay, this is me talking now. That steps on your toes, doesn't it? On all of our toes. Remember what He's doing from the get-go right here. He started off in the second chapter, encouraged them and said, since you are in the Lord, to be of one mind, of the maintaining the same love, the unity of love, the unity of the Spirit, be intent on one purpose. And He told them, not to do anything from selfishness or empty conceit. Remember that? But to consider others more important than you. Consider their interests of more importance than your interests. So that's the context that He's saying all this. Then He gives that tremendous insight what the Lord did for us when He died. And He's using that as an example. He's saying Jesus is an example for us for how we're to live. And now He's telling us in verse 12 and 13 that it is the Most High God that empowers us to live this way. Now in verse 14, He's just dealing with just forthright things that will distract us. He said, do all things, everything, without grumbling or disputing. Okay? All things means all things. Okay? Don't complain. Don't moan. That word for a grumbling, it's a great word. It's an onomatopoetic word. You go, what? In Greek, it's gogousmos. Okay? In English, we say, what? Grumbling or murmuring is the same thing. And onomatopoetic means that the word sounds like what it means. Grumbling sounds like grumbling. Muttering sounds like muttering. Murmuring sounds like murmuring. And all this word can be translated all three of those, muttering, murmuring, grumbling. Don't do this type of complaining underneath your breath. Or disputing, okay? And disputing is it speaks of having a dialogue. It's actually what the Greek word is, dialogimos, okay? Having a reasoning, an argument, and there's nothing wrong with that. It depends on the attitude of the heart. Disputing is this argument and this fighting that arises from the grumbling, okay? We are to dispute and to defend the gospel, for instance. That's fine. But this right here deals with the wrong nature of the heart. So He says, do all things without that grumbling, without disputing, verse 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So much going on right here, folks. We learn that we as true believers are lights in the world. The world is described throughout Scripture as being dark. And it is. It's totally dark. This darkness. but we are the light. Whether it be one light here or a small gathering of light, when you are worshiping before the Most High God, when you are in the place, you are the light. When two or three of us gather together, that brings a brilliant light into the darkness, okay? So what he's saying is don't grumble and don't dispute, because this will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent. Prove yourself to be children of God. If you claim to be children of God, if you claim to be innocent, if you claim to be blameless, and you grumble constantly and you dispute constantly, then something else is being proved, okay? He said, we need to live in such a way that it will be obvious that we're blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach. That idea of being that nobody can draw into question what you say without blemish is the idea, okay? And that you will appear as lights in the world, verse 16. And again, verses 14, 15, and 16, those three verses are all one sentence. And here's what we're going to be doing. Among whom you appear as lights of the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. And Paul, he gets very personal about it sometimes, okay? Sometimes we have this pseudo-false self-deprecating piousness, you know, where we say, oh, well, no, I had nothing to do with anything. I had nothing to do with it. When you did, okay? And there's nothing wrong with this. He's saying this. When I don't want to run in vain. I don't want to toil in vain. The toiling that I did there with y'all, the bringing forth of the gospel, I want that to be fruit that will last for all eternity. He said, I want you to hold fast the word of life. Why? So that in the day of Christ, in so many of Paul's writings, he brings in the day of the Lord. He brings in the day of Christ, that day that is yet to come when it's all said and done, shall we say. In that day, he says, I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. He says, I am going to rejoice. I am going to glory because you were faithful to the end. Okay. He says, I'm going to have reason to be proud. That's what that word glory right there means. Okay. It's not the doxa word. It's another word. And it means to boast, that I have reason to boast. I have reason to be proud, that I have something to boast about in you. Not boasting from the selfish, fleshly point of view, but rejoicing in what has happened in your life. So hold fast the word of life, the logos, the word of life, okay? The word of life is Zoe, which means life, the logos Zoe. So hang on to that, folks. Don't be distracted by that. Don't grumble. Don't dispute. Don't do all that kind of stuff, but be a light in the midst of this crooked, perverse world. Hold fast to that word that you've received. Hold fast to the word that resides within us, right? And then he says, because in the day of Christ, we will have reason to boast. We'll have a reason to glory. Well, I'll tell you what, that's Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. Go back and read that sometime today. Take it before the Lord and see what he reveals to you. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you next time.